Right. So you ever like pour your heart into a project, right?
Yeah.
Like you go all in, you get the funding, you assemble what you think is the perfect team, and then it all just falls apart.
Oh, yeah, a classic tale as old as time. And in this case, it's chapter 6, Publish or Perish, from Mike James's upcoming book, Smoke and Mirrors.
Smoke and mirrors. Okay, dramatic.
Yeah.
So what's the story? What's this deep dive all about?
We're talking about the rise and fall of Retro Magazine.
Oh, interesting, retro magazine. Okay, so we're talking retro gaming then. I mean, that's hot right now. Nostalgia sells, and everybody loves a glossy magazine. It seems like a slam dunk, no?
On the surface, absolutely, but behind the scenes. Let's just say the road to magazine hell is paved with, well, you know,
Good intention.
and maybe some not so good decisions too. And that's where this Mike James book gets really interesting. He's not just telling the story of one failed magazine, but he's dissecting a very specific kind of entrepreneur, what he calls a serial entrepreneur.
Okay, serial entrepreneur. That sounds a little intense. Break that down for us.
So picture this, someone who launches one big idea after another, right? Always huge promises, tons of hype, but they lack the follow-through, the business skills. Often they don't even really want to see those ideas through to completion. They just love the launch.
Wow, so are we talking about Mike Kennedy here, the magazine's fearless leader? At least that's how he fashioned himself.
Right.
Well, to be fair to Mike Kennedy, the initial spark, the idea for the magazine, seems to have come from his podcast co-host, Steve Sawyer. But according to James's book, it was Kennedy who really grabbed hold of the idea, maybe a little too enthusiastically.
So we've got these two guys, best buds, co-hosting a successful podcast about their shared passion, retro gaming. They stumble on an idea, this potential gold mine, and then boom, priorities shift.
And remember, this is at a time when retro gaming is exploding. Conventions are huge, celebrities are showing up. It was an exciting time to be a part of that world.
And these guys, instead of riding that wave, promoting their already successful podcast, they're holed up in a hotel room at E3 brainstorming magazine ideas.
Missing out on valuable networking opportunities, potential sponsorships, all to sketch out what's, at that point, just a pipe dream. That right there is red flag number one.
So even in these early stages, the seeds of Retro Magazine's demise are being sown.
Absolutely. Passion is great, essential even, but without a solid foundation of, I don't know, planning, realistic expectations, it can quickly become a liability.
True, true. But it's not all doom and gloom right out of the gate, is it? I mean, they do have some early wins. They bring in Mark Kaminsky, this design whiz, and spoiler alert, he becomes like a primary source for Mike James's expose, right?
Yeah.
They land some big name writers, industry legends. Things are looking up.
On the surface, yeah, you're right. They had a lot going for them. And to their credit, the Kickstarter launch, that's a massive success. They smashed their funding goals. So clearly there was an appetite for this magazine. But even in those early wins, those red flags, they keep popping up.
Okay, like what kind of red flags are we talking about?
Yeah. Well, for starters, the very first person to back their Kickstarter, it wasn't some random retro gaming enthusiast. It was Mark Kaminsky, their design lead.
Interesting. You'd think everyone would be glued to their screens watching those pledges roll in. So why wasn't Kennedy the first one to back his own project?
Because according to James, he was too busy enjoying the open bar at some retro gaming expo.
Okay, so maybe not so hands-on.
Let's just say priorities.
So we're starting to get a picture of Mike Kennedy's leadership style, or lack thereof. But at this point, the money's rolling in. They've got a killer design team, big name contributors. Things are looking up. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, you have no idea.
Oh, I'm sure we can imagine. But go ahead, paint us a picture. What happened?
Well, this is where those cracks we talked about, they become like full-blown canyons. Because as Retro Magazine starts to gain some real traction, Mike Kennedy's behavior, it takes a turn. He gets less communicative, way more evasive, especially with Steve and Mark.
Which is crazy to me. This
Yeah.
whole thing, this magazine, it was their dream first. And let's be real, Mark basically handed them this thing on a silver platter. So how does that work? How does Kennedy square that?
It's not pretty. Basically, he starts seeing the podcast as competition. Like, they were the launch pad, right? But now he's got the magazine. He doesn't need them anymore.
Which, hello? Remember that E3 story? The one where they were too busy day drinking to network for the podcast?
Oh, yeah, that comes back to bite them big time. Because now Mike's on the podcast talking about the magazine like it's this huge opportunity for everybody. More listeners, more advertising, the whole shebang.
But that's not how it goes down.
Not even close. Classic bait and switch. And the saddest part, it works because people, especially creative types, they want to believe in the dream.
They were sold a partnership.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike straight up promised Scott and UK Mike ad space in the magazine, right? There are literally emails.
Yep. And then issue one drops. Everybody's pumped. UK Mike reaches out. Hey, Mike, where's our ad?
Oh, no. Don't tell me. They got bumped to, like, the coming soon section. Ouch.
Worse. Sites we love. Tucked away in the back. No fanfare. No paid advertisement. No article. Just a little shout out.
That's brutal. Not even just bad business, but like a slap in the face. They started this whole thing together.
It's a complete betrayal of trust. And spoiler alert, it's a sign of things to come.
Oh no, it gets worse.
Oh yeah. Remember those big name writers? The ones he was so proud of getting?
This before or after the Exploding Barrel debacle?
You're thinking of Brandon Justice.
Wow, right. Mike brings in Brandon Justice. Former EGM editor, kind of a controversial figure, shall we say.
That's putting it mildly.
He'd be the editor-in-chief of Retro Magazine. What could possibly go wrong?
It's a decision that had everyone in the industry scratching their heads. And even before Brandon officially starts, the book talks about how he's already butting heads with the podcast guys, like trying to dictate terms for a collaboration they never actually agreed to.
So not just pushing out the original team, but actively trying to, like, steamroll them.
It's a total power move. And sadly, this is where Steve and Mark get pushed even further to the sidelines.
Steve, who, reminder, had the original idea for the magazine, and Mark, who built the whole thing.
It's not about creative differences at this point. It's just, I don't know, a new sheriff's in town and he wants everybody to know it.
Does this involve asking one of the biggest names in retro gaming to write about dot exploding barrels?
You're way ahead of me, but yes. Brandon Justice decides that Pat Contry, the NES punk, should write about Exploding Barrel.
You've got to be kidding me.
I wish I was. But buckle up, because that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to Brandon's dot unique management style.
So at this point, we've got unpaid writers, a sideline design genius, and an editor-in-chief who thinks Exploding Barrels are like the height of NES innovation. But here's the thing. People are still buying this magazine. So where is all the money going?
$1 million question. Right. And the book kind of tiptoes around this. Like, Mike James hints at mismanagement, maybe even some shady stuff, but it's never like a smoking gun.
Although, there is that little detail about Mike Kennedy buying a brand new pinball machine right around the time those writers start complaining about not getting paid.
Yeah, always a good look. But to be fair, we don't know for sure if those are connected. What we do know is that the money problems, they just keep getting worse. Stores aren't getting their magazine orders. And Mike's solution, high interest loans from, get this, his own family, to cover the interest on other loans. It's a recipe for disaster.
It's like trying to put out a fire with, I don't know, more fire. It's mind-boggling. But what about everybody else? The writers who aren't getting paid, the designers getting ignored, the podcasters who are now persona non grata, what happens to them?
Like, all of them just walk away, disillusioned and out of pocket. But the book mentions that Mike had this interesting solution for the writers who were owed money.
Let me guess. He offered to name a character in his next retro-themed pinball game after them.
Close. Instead of paying them, he offered them. Wait for it. Worthless shares in another one of his failing companies.
Get out. You can't be serious. That's not just bad business. That's, I don't even know, morally bankrupt.
Mike James calls it exploitative opportunism. Basically, Mike Kennedy was a master at bringing in talented people, making big promises, and then, I don't know how else to put it, using them. And then on to the next shiny object.
And leaving a trail of destruction in his wake.
Exactly.
It's a cautionary tale, for sure. And as Retro Magazine is, you know, limping towards its inevitable end, price hikes, Hail Mary partnerships, a best of issue, cobbled together from old articles, it's clear that it's over. What's the takeaway for you?
Passion's great, don't get me wrong, but it's not enough. To build something that lasts, you need more than enthusiasm. You need a plan, a good team, and I think this is important, a commitment to being honest and fair.
And knowing how to spot those red flags. Mm. Because as we saw with Retro Magazine, the cost of unchecked ambition, well, it can be huge.
Absolutely. It's often the people who believe in the dream the most who get burned. So yeah, if you're out there chasing your dreams, just, you know, don't forget about the things that really matter. Integrity, collaboration, and good old-fashioned hard work. That's how you build something that lasts.